today. Special welcome to you, and please join us downstairs for a time of fellowship after the service. We have a special service today, the welcoming of some new members into our fellowship. Let's take a few moments to greet one another where we are. Reading from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Word of the Lord. Should indeed be people clothed in joy, giving thanks to the Lord forever. Let's pray. Let's not complain about the heat. Just remember February. Father God, we've gathered here today with joy in our hearts because we've come to worship you, our Father, our Creator, and our Redeemer. So, Father, we pray your presence among us by your Holy Spirit as we lift up our prayers to you this morning. Lord, we are struck this weekend by some tragedies near and far. Train wreck in Quebec, Father, there have been some loss of life and certainly loss of lots of property. And Lord, we pray for those people there now who have to clean up, try and get their lives back to order, and those who are grieving. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will be there among them, that Christian men and women will gather around and provide the needs that are so much needed right now. And we pray also for those people in San Francisco who have been harmed by the plane crash, Lord, and those who have lost loved ones in the accident. And locally, Lord, we pray for the family of the little boy who drowned on Friday night here in New York. Lord, I just pray your blessing on all those people who are grieving this weekend. Lord, bless them. Lord, we give you thanks for the blessings we have of family, of fellowship, and the freedom we have to worship, and the freedom we have in this country to believe. Lord, we lift up to you those who do not have that freedom, from all around the world. Lord, we pray for those believers who have to flee from family, from home, and from familiar places just to get the freedom to practice their faith. And Lord, we pray especially for those who are trapped in those countries and in those places and are being persecuted for their faith. Lord, we pray that our government will strongly oppose those governments who do not allow their citizens freedom of belief, freedom of practice. Lord, we lift up to you all those who call on the name of the Lord and are persecuted and prosecuted for their belief. And Lord, we give you thanks here in this day that we are free to believe and practice. And now in the quietness of your own hearts and your own minds, lift up to the Lord your own particular needs and supplications. Heavenly Father and gracious God, we give you thanks that you hear the prayers of your children. For you delight to hear our prayers of worship, adoration, and praise, but you also delight to hear our prayers of request. So, Lord, you have heard our prayers this morning. We ask you to hear our prayers, for we pray them in the holy name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. What do you think about when you hear the word inheritance? We think about wills, my last will and testimony, passing on of family heirlooms and accumulated wealth and possessions. That's what we think about when we think about inheritance. The thing about an inheritance, of course, is you have to wait for it. It's only yours when someone dies, right? And the will is read. There is a saying that where there's a will, there are relatives. The other thing about inheritors is they fall naturally to the family of the deceased. Now, there are exceptions. There are sometimes where families are in conflict and someone gets written out of the will through some disagreement or whatever. But in the normal course of things, inheritance falls to the family members. The family members inherit the wealth and the benefits. And there are different practices in different cultures about how this is actually carried out, which child or which son gets the largest portion or whatever. But in generally, it comes down to one statement. One thing is that family members receive the inheritance. And it's interesting that in the scripture, the words inheritance and heir, being an heir to something or inheriting something, are frequently used. Those words are frequently used to explain how God has ordained the giving and receiving of eternal life. Eternal life itself being described as an inheritance. Lots of people asked Jesus lots of different questions, and they came up to him and demanded certain things. But in Mark's gospel, a man runs up to Jesus, and he falls on his knees before Jesus, and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit?" As if an inheritance had anything to do with doing anything. We don't have to do something to inherit something. We have to be something. To inherit something, you have to be a member of the family. To inherit what's being passed on. If being part of a family affords some kind of right to an inheritance, then why did this man ask, "What must I do?" You don't have to do anything. You have to be something. And to be part of the eternal inheritance, we must be part of the family of God. We must first be children of God. The children have the inheritance. Family members receive the inheritance. Instead of wanting to grab the inheritance, this man who inquired of Jesus, "What must I do?" it would have been wiser if he had asked, "How can I become part of the family of God and receive the inheritance?" So that's the question we have. How can I be part of the family of God and receive this eternal inheritance? And how do I know if I am a member of that family? Fortunately, those questions are answered for us in Scripture, so we can be sure. In Romans 8, Paul writes, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We know, we who are believers, we who have trusted, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know in our inner spirit that we are part of that family. We know we are children of God. From that moment when we first heard that message, and I don't mean just the intellectual assent, yes, I understand the message of Jesus, but that moment when the Holy Spirit penetrated our hearts and sealed us for eternity, From that time on, we, each one of us, knows. Now, for some, it was a slow dawning over time. And the Spirit kind of crept up on them over time. But once they crossed that threshold, once we allowed the Spirit to penetrate our hearts, once we acknowledged and acquiesced and said, yes, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, we became, at that moment, a child of God, a member of the family, and an heir to the inheritance. I had when I was a Sunday school teacher, I had a young chap in my class, and we were talking about this, how do you know? And the only way he could explain it was, I just know that I know that I know. About 14 years old, he actually went on to become a pastor, but he just expressed it at 14 years of age. He says, I just know that I know that I know. Because the Spirit was telling him that. I must emphasize, though, that this is not a one-time event. I think some of us look at our point of conversion as being a point in time, and people write down little cards, date and time that they received Christ. But it has to be an ongoing life of being in Christ. We have to immerse ourselves in Christ throughout our life. When we have baptisms here, and we particularly do immersion baptism in the Baptist tradition, we immerse the candidate in the water. And that's representative of being immersed in Christ. It is symbolic. We immerse the person right under the water, symbolic of being immersed in Christ. Now, we have to lift you up out of the water, because human life's not sustainable underwater. But spiritually, we must stay there. We must stay immersed in Christ. The immersion in the water symbolizes death, because we can't survive there. The coming up out of the water symbolizes new life in Christ. And we must stay in that new life and not go back to our old life. Our old life has died in the water, if you like. And we are risen to new life in Christ. So we must remain in Christ. We must remain as part of God's family, because that's where our inheritance lies. And the effort is all God's. We all have to admit that the Spirit came to us. God called us. There's no act on my part. It was all the sovereign act and will of God to touch my spirit and make me turn around. We have all become adopted children, adopted into the family of God. Upon hearing that call, we responded and received and believed. And again, in John's Gospel, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The right to become children of God. Not because of human birth, the scripture goes on to say, but because they are born of God. Same theme that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You must be born again of the Spirit. Peter calls it a people belonging to God. 1 Peter says you are a holy nation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. That whole theme of belonging, of family, of inheritance is all tied up in these themes. A very secure position to be in, to know that you have been placed in the family of God. Now, somewhat different to an earthly inheritance that we have to wait for, this heavenly inheritance is for us now. We don't have to wait to die, because Jesus has already died. And we get the inheritance. We get eternal life. We can live a life of rejoicing. We can be taught to dance. Well, some of us can be taught to dance. For others, it's a little more difficult. But we should be dancing. We should be rejoicing. We should be living lives full of joy because we have that earthly, that heavenly, eternal inheritance. And we have it now. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit in us. We've been adopted into the family of God, and we're receiving His blessings day by day, day by day. Eternal life has already started. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your eternal life has already started. You're already living in it. You're already reaping the blessings. And we're part of the family of God, that large family of God that spreads all around the globe. In a few moments, we're going to do what most families do. We're going to gather at a table. We're going to gather at the table. I don't know about your families, but when our family gets together, it's always round the table. And it's always very noisy. But lots of us. It's a lot of fun. Families get together, it's a lot of fun, isn't it? That's what we're going to do. We're not going to have some fun, but it's a solemn occasion. But we're going to rejoice nonetheless at the Lord's table. The table represents two things for us. It's the calling of God's people out of bondage in Egypt. Passover Supper represents that, but it's also representative of us being called out of slavery to sin. It represents us being called out of slavery to sin. It's also a foretaste of the banquet that's being prepared for us right now. That great banquet in heaven, when the Lord comes and brings us all home. But before we gather at the table, as a family, our family is getting larger. No, that's not an announcement from me and Annette. Our church family is getting larger. Today, before we gather at the table as a family, we're going to invite 8 new members into our family fellowship today. This is a very exciting event for a church family. Have new members come in, but to have 8 new members come in, that is wonderful. So I'm going to ask Tim, Gord, James, Nadia, Chris, Lise, David, and Matthew to come on up and join me on the platform. Have you all got your speeches ready? Yeah, right. We've heard the testimonies of your faith in Jesus Christ. And we've heard of your desire to become active members in this fellowship of Christian Baptist Church. And today we welcome you into that fellowship. As part of this congregation, you're also part of the wider Baptist fellowship that spans the globe. And as Christians, you're part of the wider church throughout the world. Our prayer is that each one of you will find your gifts that the Lord has given you, and you'll find a place for service in our community. Some of you, most of you, already have found a place to serve in our community. Wonderful. Because you serve the kingdom. You serve Christ's kingdom here on earth. Let me pray for you now. Lord of heaven and earth, we, your children, your blessed children, are overjoyed that you have called us into fellowship one with another. We pray now your special blessing upon these 8 people, Tim, Gord, James, Nadia, Matt, Chris, Lise, David. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Rise them up for service in your kingdom. Rise them up for service in our fellowship. Pour your Spirit out upon them, we pray. For we are all richer for their partnership and their fellowship. Pray in Jesus' name. Tammy's going to hand out the certificates as they come off the platform. Gord, welcome. Wonderful to have you. We welcome our new members. We have the servers come forward, please, for serving communion. So we gather again as the family of God. We gather at his table. He welcomes us and invites us to this table. The scripture warns us not to come too lightly, not to take this table too lightly, but to examine ourselves before God and be sure that we are not partaking of these elements in an unworthy manner. So let's take a few moments to examine our conscience before God this morning, confess those sins that have yet to be confessed, and be sure that when we receive today, receive with a clear heart, clear conscience. Scripture tells us that God is faithful, that when we confess our sins, He is very quick to forgive and very quick to forget. He remembers our sins no more. And so we gather at this table this morning, cleansed by the blood of Christ, and we will receive these elements with joy in our hearts. Scripture tells us that Jesus and the disciples were gathered together for the Passover meal. And at the end of the meal, Jesus took the bread. And while the Passover meal was supposed to be a memory of the Passover, of the exodus of the Jews out of bondage and slavery in Egypt, Jesus changed it and made it a memorial of Him. And He took the bread and He broke it and He gave it to them and said, "Take this and eat, all of you. This is My body. Do this in memory of Me." Let us eat this bread together in remembrance of Christ's sacrifice for us. When supper was finished, Jesus took the cup. And He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in My blood, which will be shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink this in remembrance of Me." Let us drink this cup together, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for us for the remission of our sins, and be thankful. It's good to remember that we are a family. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we should treat each other that way. We just became a larger family today. So after the service, come down, let's have a time of celebration together as we celebrate the new brothers and sisters we have. Congregation, rejoicing that we have Christ as our Savior, we are members of the family of God, and we have our inheritance already. Go in peace. Amen.